The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Derek Frost from North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading from Triangle Business Journal. Today's program is underwritten by Highwoods Properties with its headquarters in Raleigh, North Carolina. Highwoods, a real estate investment trust, is committed to making our communities better places to live and work. Highwoods can be reached at 866-449-6637. And we start on the front page of the Triangle Business Journal with the cover story headline, The Triangle Wealth Effect. The fast-growing region continues to build affluence through income, home values, and investments. And this cover story has an introduction and a couple of stories. It begins within the Triangle Business Journal with the second headline, The Triangle's Pockets of Money. Post-pandemic shifts are reshaping wealth in the region with new millionaires, affluent zip codes, and evolving investment trends. And this is written by David Pertell and Cameron Snipes. A strong stock market, sky-high home price appreciation, and low unemployment fueled a tremendous surge in wealth since the pandemic, minting thousands of new millionaires in cities around the nation. But those gains haven't been spread equally. The pandemic also fueled migration, and that means money also has been on the move, not just between neighborhoods, but also from generation to generation. In this year's Wealth Edition, we're taking a closer look at wealth patterns in the Triangle. That includes our exclusive list of the region's wealthiest zip codes, a ranking that takes income, home values, education levels, and more into account. We're also spotlighting the registered investment advisors who are helping clients grow their fortunes, as well as other notable trends in wealth management. And our first story, written by David Pertell, where the wealth lives, these are the Triangle's most affluent zip codes. As the Triangle continues to gain residents and wealth due to its vibrant economy, an area in Raleigh's core, long known for its volume of high earners and upscale homes, continues to stand out above other neighborhoods as the wealthiest in the region. The 27608 zip code, which includes Hayes Barton, Five Points, the Oberlin Road Corridor, and the Carolina Country Club, ranks number one in the region for wealth in a new analysis by the Business Journals. The ranking reveals that even though the region has added billions in new income and wealth in recent years, whether from organic growth or in migration, the highest concentrations of wealth remain in Wake County. With typical home values above $1 million, per capita income approaching $95,000, and more than 80% of residents having a bachelor's degree or higher, the 27608 zip is far and away the leader in the Triangle's core counties of Wake, Durham, and Orange. The zip code ranks 318th nationally and is the only Triangle zip to crack the top 500 on the Business Journal's Wealthy 1000 list. Other local pockets of wealth are in Cary, zip code 27518, the Lockmere area south of U.S. Highway 1, and the 27517 zip. That includes the Governor's Club in Chatham County outside Chapel Hill. The wealth ranking is based on a weighted formula involving several wealth metrics, such as per capita income and average home value, while also accounting for factors such as population density, poverty rates, and owner-occupied housing units. Demographic data was drawn from the U.S. Census Bureau's 2023 American Community Survey. Typical home value data was provided by Zillow as of May 31st. The data doesn't just show which areas have the highest concentrations of wealth, but also spotlights how migration patterns are creating new pockets of wealth, especially in suburban zip codes like Cary, where the town's median household income is well above $120,000. It's a shift that's fueling commercial and residential development, while also leading to dramatic price increases that have changed the fabric of many neighborhoods. Across North Carolina, there are 15 zip codes in the top 1,000, with Charlotte having six of them, including the highest ranked zip code in the state, 28207, the Eastover neighborhood south of Uptown, which is number 72 overall nationally. Raleigh's 27608 ranks second in the state. Notably, it and 28207 in Charlotte have typical home values above $1 million, according to Zillow. But the gap is wide, as the Charlotte zip codes come in at $1.59 million and the Raleigh zip is $1.02 million. But to highlight the incredible rise in home values, The 27608 ZIP's typical home value was below $700,000 5 years ago. The Carolina Coast makes an appearance as well with the coveted Wrightsville Beach community, zip code 28480, coming in at number 648 nationally. Typical home values there are above $1.5 million, and the per capita income is $96,000. The national ranking has two critical criteria. Zip codes must have a per capita income of at least $70,000 and a poverty rate of less than 10%. To broaden the scope locally, Triangle Business Journal lowered the per capita income threshold to $50,000 or higher while removing the poverty rate cap. That gives us 31 zip codes across the region, including rapidly growing towns like Apex and Holly Springs, as well as destination spots such as Pinehurst. But the wealthiest areas remain highly concentrated in the core of Wake County, with Raleigh and Cary zip codes filling the top 10 spots. Those 10 zips have an average per capita income of almost $67,000 and a typical home value of $628,000. The national wealth picture. The top 25 zip codes from the Business Journal's Wealthy 1000 were clustered around the nation's most populated metros, including New York, San Francisco, Chicago, Miami, and Washington, D.C. California, 182, had the most zip codes on the list, followed by New Jersey, 117, New York, 89, Massachusetts, 82, and Florida, 62. Among California's zip codes, 67 were in the San Francisco area. Los Angeles accounted for 52 zip codes, while San Jose, 30, and San Diego, 13, also exhibited high wealth density. Because of the concentration of wealth focus, some states were not represented, including Alaska, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Wyoming. Although several of those have higher than average gross domestic products per capita, some also have a high concentration of vacation homes and ranches, which were not factored as official households for this analysis. Poverty rates also tempered the weighted formula, resulting in the exclusion of all zip codes from Mississippi, Louisiana, and West Virginia. Conversely, education levels as measured by the census were considered in the Business Journal's proprietary formula. Among the top 10 zip codes in the U.S., an average of 81% of residents achieved a bachelor's degree or higher. According to the Federal Reserve, education plays a key role in lifetime income and overall wealth inequality. And the second article in the cover story is written by Cameron Snipes. The headline, Wealth Firms Adapt to Tech Revolution. Wealth management firms quietly adjust to AI and changing client needs in the digital age. Across the wealth management landscape, firms are quietly reshaping how they operate, some embracing innovation, others holding steady, all responding to a changing world where technology, client expectations, and uncertainty intersect. Artificial intelligence has made its way into the industry, but its impact varies widely. For some, like Cardinal Capital Management in Raleigh, AI has streamlined portfolio management and reporting systems, making operations more efficient. Similar things are happening elsewhere, such as at Woodward Financial Advisors in Chapel Hill, where AI has helped back-end functions become more effectual while expanding service offerings. Guardian Wealth Advisors in Raleigh's North Hills is betting big on the future with AI, a featured tenant. When asked if AI would have an effect on his firm's approach to fund management, firm partner Mike Hensley said, "We believe it will and have hired a specialist to focus on it." But not all firms are pressing that far down on the gas pedal. A few firms Triangle Business Journal reached out to reported little meaningful change from AI so far, choosing instead to focus more on traditional strengths and trusted partnerships. As clients become more digitally fluent, firms are adapting in different ways. Phoenix Wealth Advisors management partner Mark Rhodes says his firm's operations and administration platforms are employing AI. Others, like Absher Wealth Management and Rick Woods-led Hamilton Point Advisors, both of Chapel Hill, rely on outside technology partners to deliver solutions that meet rising expectations. Cardinal Capital emphasizes transparency through monthly benchmark performance reports. Along those lines, Ballantyne Wealth Advisors says it is enhancing its tech stack and integrating back-end systems to stay ahead in an ever-evolving digital landscape. The firm, with an office in Raleigh, points to its efforts to create a single consolidated data portal for the better end user experience for its clients. A big area of focus for Investors Trust Company also centers on accessibility for its clients. Senior VP and Managing Director Rick Brown says the firm does this by providing ready access for clients to access their account information and market activity. Beyond being able to access their accounts digitally, clients' concerns vary widely, from fielding macroeconomic questions about the durability of the U.S. economy, geopolitical risks and the effect of tariffs, to more specific issues such as tax planning and gifting. Firms are constantly working to mitigate client fears. And then there's the personal issue of whether clients are going to outlive their money. People are living longer, and a Fidelity survey from March found that only 60% of professional investors were prepared financially for longer life cycles. The study also revealed that 57% of respondents believe there is a sufficient number of quality solutions in the market that address the investment needs of increasing life expectancy. The bottom line is the wealth management industry isn't currently undergoing a loud transformation. It's a quiet revolution. Some firms are leaning into the AI boom, others are watching and waiting, and many are adapting incrementally. Whether through AI, expanded services, or deeper client engagement, the goal is straightforward: to serve clients better in a world that's changing faster than ever. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to Biz, a quick glance at Triangle happenings, written by Dane Huffman. Key decisions loom for History Museum. Revamp Museum looks at what to highlight from North Carolina's long, complex history. The North Carolina Museum of History stored 150,000 objects and released a splashy new vision of what the museum will become. And now comes the hard part, deciding what parts of North Carolina's history to tell. C.J. Roberts, named executive director of the North Carolina Division of State History Museums earlier this year, is leading a listening process to solicit feedback from across the state. Roberts has extensive experience in planning and constructing museums, including as CEO of the Tampa Bay History Center since 2005. He was previously involved in launching the National World War II Museum in New Orleans. Roberts inherits a Raleigh museum with a spotty history. When it opened in 1994, it was a splashy building on a prime piece of real estate, but one with vast open spaces and surprisingly limited gallery space. There were some challenges in that building from the beginning, said Roberts, including a flow that was awkward. The $180 million renovation, scheduled to debut in 2028, will make the museum more interactive and inviting. We're using museum buildings far more for community gathering spaces, he said. So we're planning for all those elements with these renovated buildings. With this renovated building, essentially, we're adding about 35,000 square feet of space. How that space will be used is evolving, and Roberts and his colleagues are getting feedback now. That process is helping them recreate the museum with more focus on popular culture and a healthy dose of what makes the state distinctive, such as the culture that defines its various regions. Museum leaders will be making decisions about how North Carolina and its complex history is represented at a challenging time. President Donald Trump has launched a review of the Smithsonian Institution. That backdrop isn't lost on Roberts. Since we are in the profession, we are watching that very closely, he said. One key, he said, will be telling authentic stories and with primary source materials. It's an interesting time, he said, in that until 6 months ago, museums were among the most trusted sources of information out there. So what we're doing is more important than it ever has been before. New look coming on downtown Durham building. A $34 billion California bank is putting its name on a tower in downtown Durham. That's according to officials at Bank of California, speaking before the sign with the bank's logo changes the Durham skyline next month. Nearly 2 years after the brand started to operate in the Triangle with its buy of PacWest, its local base in the 11-story 555 Mangum building across from Durham Bulls Athletic Park is finally set to get signage. It's a development bank officials hope will help push the brand into the public spotlight and a reminder of the Triangle's intense banking competition. Public can help with new trolls at Dick's Park. Trolls are coming to Dick's Park, and the park is looking for help. Five trolls from Thomas Danbo of Denmark will rise in Dick's Park, a significant number for an artist with trolls around the world. Danbo will give a talk and book signing October 23 at the All Faiths Chapel at Dick's Park. But the park is also looking for volunteers to help assemble the trolls. Volunteers are needed for some construction tasks and for hospitality. As for exactly what the trolls will look like, That's still a secret. More build to rent coming in Garner. The build to rent trend is growing with the latest BTR community planned for Garner. Liberty Investment Partners, a private investment firm in Raleigh, is partnering with Windsor Companies of Greensboro and New Ridge Real Estate Partners of New York to develop Greenbrier Park townhomes. The project calls for 106 townhomes between highways 401 and 70. John Barker, managing partner of Liberty Investment Partners, said the project is fully funded. He said the company chose the site for its proximity to downtown Raleigh and the Garner Town Square shopping center. And finally, she finds her fit in plastic surgery. Heather Levites grew up in Manhattan and dreamed of being a singer or a dancer. She got as far as a very off-Broadway show before deciding to use her science and math skills at MIT and eventually at Duke University for a plastic surgery residency. Now married and the mother of a four-year-old, Levites made a leap that's not as tough as reaching Broadway, but one still against the odds, opening a clinic with an operating room. According to the American Board of Plastic Surgery, there are 7,752 board-certified plastic surgeons in the U.S., and only 19% are female. Levites said only a few of those own their practice with an operating room. Her Levity Lifts practice is open on Raleigh's Creedmoor Road at a time when such demand for such services has grown exponentially, she says. It's not just the wealthy, she said. We're seeing younger and younger women, especially young moms. And now we turn to the top news stories in the Triangle Business Journal. The first one, written by Kaylee Thompson. Kane Realty refiles rezoning for high-rises. North Hills would add taller, thinner towers in this new proposal. More than 2 years since pulling a rezoning application seeking new high-rises in North Hills, Kane Realty Corporation has refiled its request. The prominent Raleigh real estate developer has submitted its rezoning application for various parcels on Six Forks and Lassiter Mills Roads to the city. The rezoning seeks 12, 20, and 40 stories on sites now zoned for 5 and 12 stories. The application comes about a month after the developer hosted a neighborhood meeting attended by 114 people. In March 2023, Kane pulled its rezoning request after facing significant pushback from residents. To address the traffic concerns, Kane Realty has limited height to 37 stories, and the density will not be more than what is allowed under the current zoning, 5 and 12 stories. That's no more than 2,521 residential units, up to 263,465 square feet of commercial space, and up to 1.6 million square feet of office and medical space. For comparison, the Eastern is 36 stories and has 376 units, including penthouses. It's important to understand that we're not asking for more density. Rather, we're asking for taller, thinner buildings with the same density limits we are currently zoned to build within. A rare approach, said Callie Walker, Director of Development for Kane Realty. This rezoning request will allow us to create more ground-level space for community gathering, outdoor dining and entertainment, amenities that are highly valued by residents of Raleigh. Kane Realty's goal with the various heights is to allow for transitions within North Hills and definition on the edges of the district. The 37-story buildings would be toward the center of North Hills, with heights decreasing to 20 stories to the southwest and to 12 stories directly to the north. The 37-story buildings would be along Six Forks Road. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to the reporter pages, beginning with Zach Ezone's page, Healthcare and Life Sciences. Fenton lands public firm's headquarters. Heron Therapeutics had been based in California, but now calls Cary home. A pharmaceutical company that recently relocated to North Carolina from California is moving to offices in a popular spot in Cary. Heron Therapeutics has entered a long-term lease for office space at Fenton, the mixed-use development with a host of amenities for corporate and residential tenants. The space will serve as the company's corporate headquarters and gives the firm, which has 30 local employees, more room to grow. The company is leasing 16,837 square feet at 25 Fenton Main Street from the entity USEFHCG Fenton LLC, according to a public securities filing. Hines, a Houston real estate company, is the developer behind Fenton. Base rent under the lease starts at $614,550 for the first year and will increase annually. That makes the rent price per square foot about $36.50. The move follows Heron in December, moving its corporate headquarters from California. Craig Collard, who previously led Cary-based drug developers Veloxis Pharmaceuticals and Cornerstone Therapeutics, joined as CEO in 2023. Heron will move to Fenton in 2026. As we expand and grow, we're going to need that space, so we thought this was a good move for the future, Collard said. Heron previously reported operating leases for two offices in Cary of 5,840 square feet and 9,882 square feet, according to the company's latest annual financial report. The company also has a lease for space in San Diego that will expire at the end of this year. The Fenton lease runs for more than 9 years, according to the securities filing. The company has four commercial products, two of them, Cinvanti and Sustol, are intended to prevent chemotherapy-induced nausea and vomiting. The other two, Aponvi and Zinrelef, are for acute care. Aponvi is intended to prevent postoperative nausea and vomiting, while Zinrelef is approved for postoperative pain management. For the second quarter, Heron reported about $37.2 million in total net product sales, with Cinvanti being the company's top revenue generator at $24.14 million. Zinrelef, Aponvi, and Sustol generated $8.19 million, $2.46 million, and $2.4 million, respectively. Behavioral health is focus of new hospital. ECU Health is opening a new hospital in Greenville to help meet demand for behavioral health services. Called ECU Health Behavioral Health Hospital, the 144-bed facility is the result of a joint venture between the Greenville-based health system and Acadia Healthcare. Together, the two entities invested more than $60 million to build the facility on land ECU Health owns near its existing medical center in Greenville. The hospital will offer inpatient and outpatient programs for adolescents, children, adults, and seniors facing acute mental health conditions like depression and bipolar disorder. The hospital will begin seeing patients in September. The medical center will also serve as a teaching facility for ECU's Brody School of Medicine, with an aim toward addressing the shortage of behavioral health professionals in eastern North Carolina. By partnering with Acadia Healthcare and offering specialized patient-centered behavioral health care that will also serve as a training ground for future clinicians, this hospital will support patients throughout eastern North Carolina and directly advance our mission to improve the health and well-being of the region, said Dr. Michael Waldrum, CEO of ECU Health. And finally, big names back $11 million round for RTP firm. A drug developer in Research Triangle Park has raised more than $11 million as it pursues a new cancer treatment. Encyclix Bio has extended a previous funding round through investments from Eshelman Ventures, Eli Lilly and Company, Pharma Cosmos, and Cape Fear BioCapital. The funding will allow it to complete an ongoing clinical trial evaluating its potential cancer treatment. A securities filing on August 22nd shows Encyclix raised $11.25 million of equity from four investors. It could raise more, as the securities filing lists a total offering amount of $20 million. The company describes this additional funding as an extension of a $30 million Series B round that closed in early 2022. Boxer Capital Management, a new investor at that time, led the round with participation from RA Capital Management, another new investor, and existing investor Eshelman Ventures. Encyclix was formed in 2020 by former employees of G1 Therapeutics with an initial $6 million investment led by Eshelman Ventures, an investment company started by PPD founder and former CEO Fred Eshelman. Pharma Cosmos acquired G1 Therapeutics last year for $405 million. And next we turn to Lauren Onosorge's page, Transportation and Finance. RDU Airlines seeks aid for new flight. Breeze Airways is seeking federal aid to expand its service from RDU. Breeze Airways is raising its bet on Raleigh-Durham International Airport and hoping it can get millions in subsidies to make the math work. The budget airline is competing for a federal contract to fly to RDU out of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, a flight that could be supported by more than $5 million from the U.S. Department of Transportation. The move comes shortly after federal regulators approved Breeze's request to launch a new service from RDU to Ogdensburg, New York, in exchange for $9 million in federal incentives annually. Both Lancaster and Ogdensburg are part of the Essential Air Service Program, an initiative funded by USDOT that incentivizes airlines to serve communities with limited access to air travel. We think the proposed route would be a great addition to our network, but as with all EAS service, it is subject to government approval, a Breeze spokesman said August 28. In an EAS application submitted to the Federal Aviation Administration, Breeze is offering to support up to 12 round-trip flights per week via a 137-seat Airbus A220. It seeks a three-year contract. Our intent is to remain in the Lancaster market. However, we cannot be held in without the ability to adapt to changing circumstances, Breeze Airways Chief Financial Officer Lucas Johnson said in the proposal. It's a flight that, according to numbers presented by Breeze, wouldn't happen without federal help. Flying 12 round trips a week would net just over $5 million in revenue, but cost more than $9.5 million to operate, according to Breeze's application. So it's proposing just under $5 million in federal subsidies, leaving Breeze a projected profit of just more than $504,000. But the airline faces competition as other carriers are vying for the subsidies. No other carrier lists RDU as a potential destination in their EAS application. Kerry woman loses funds, leads to federal probe. A federal forfeiture case unveiled recently details allegations of a sprawling cryptocurrency investment fraud that roped in victims across the nation, including a Kerry woman. In a complaint filed August 26, the U.S. Department of Justice is seeking the forfeiture of $8.5 million in virtual currency seized from an unhosted digital wallet linked to a network of fraudulent platforms. The funds were traced to multiple victims, including one identified as AB, a 47-year-old woman from Kerry. A spokesperson for the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of North Carolina declined to comment, and no individual defendants were named in the filings, but court records describe a complex scheme. In 2024, AB met a man calling himself Andy Tan on a dating app. Tan claimed to be a real estate professional in Los Angeles and even sent photos to support his identity, images later revealed to be stolen. Tan convinced her to invest in a platform called, it's spelled PIWBITGNZ.com. She transferred about $146,000 in cryptocurrency with a portfolio that she believed reached $950,000. But when she attempted to withdraw her funds, she was told she needed to pay $158,000 in taxes to access her account. AB reported the situation to the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and a full investigation ensued. Roundabout to link three roads in Garner. Construction crews are in the final phase of a road project that officials hope will smooth commutes along a key pass through in Garner. The stakes are high for the new roundabout being installed where White Oak Road meets Hebron Church Road near Ackerman Road west of Interstate 40. Traffic levels in the area are on the rise due to new schools and housing developments, a common theme across the triangle. An average of 35,000 vehicles travel through the area each day. Altogether, turning a pair of intersections into a roundabout is a $2.5 million project with $636,000 fronted by the town of Garner. The remainder is being reimbursed by the state and federal governments. And with phase two shifting into phase three, drivers are starting to get a real visual of what the project could mean for their communities. The project has been years in the making. Planning for the new roundabout started in 2018. And finally, Duke investment arm awaits restitution. Years after losing millions to the infamous New Jersey deli fraud, the investment group that manages Duke University's $12 billion endowment could finally see restitution. How much remains unclear. Peter Coker Sr. and his son, Peter Jr., pleaded guilty last year to securities fraud and conspiracy to commit securities fraud, charges tied to a stock manipulation scheme that inflated the market capitalization of a New Jersey deli to $100 million. Court records show the biggest loser in terms of dollars was DUMAC, D-U-M-A-C, a nonprofit support corporation for Duke. Coker Sr. was sentenced to 6 months in jail and Coker Jr. 40 months. The defendants were ordered to pay nearly $5.6 million in restitution, with $3.1 million earmarked for DUMAC. And now we turn to Ben Tobin's page, Greater Triangle. Raleigh execs grab land near Sanford. LLC tied to beverage wholesalers invest in northern part of Lee County. A Raleigh LLC that lists leaders of a longtime beverage wholesaler as its members recently made a splashy land buy in Lee County. BRR Properties purchased about 75 vacant acres between Enterprise Park Drive and Deep River Road in the northern part of the county for just shy of $3.4 million earlier this month, according to deed records. The LLC lists Bradley Shore, Rodney Long, and Russell Stewart as members, according to filings with the NC Secretary of State. Shore and Long are the president, chief operating officer, and chairman CEO, respectively. For Long Beverage, which is based out of 10500 World Trade Boulevard in Raleigh, Shore and Long did not respond to requests seeking comment. The land has a Sanford address and is zoned for residential use. That said, it is not far from several manufacturing facilities, including Estella's Gene Therapies at 6074 Enterprise Park Drive. Long Beverage's origins go back to 1947 when founder Junie Long began his career with Durham Distributing, where he would become co-owner several years later, according to Long Beverage's website. Over the years, the company has distributed various types of alcoholic and soft drinks. The land purchase signals potentially another tip of the cap to Lee County's manufacturing sector, which has been a bedrock of an industry for the community. The manufacturing industry provided the plurality of jobs for Lee County in the first quarter of this year, according to the most recent data available through the North Carolina Quarterly Census of Employment and Wages. Of Lee County's roughly 26,000 private sector jobs, the manufacturing industry contains 8,473, close to one-third of the county's private sector workforce. Of 10 halo counties surrounding the core of the Research Triangle, Lee County has the most manufacturing workers. Oxford annexes land amid zoning lawsuit. Amid a lawsuit over land jurisdiction and zoning processes, Oxford is taking steps to greenlight projects that could bring thousands of homes and retail opportunities to the area. The Oxford Board of Commissioners voted during a meeting recently to annex close to 1,000 acres to be used for two projects that promise close to 3,000 homes. The city then applied RMUCD, Residential Mixed-Use Conditional District, zoning designations to each plot of land. This move comes more than 2 months after Granville County sued the city of Oxford, claiming the city improperly and illegally rezoned property under the county's jurisdiction. The county said the city violated state law by making rezoning decisions on properties before annexing them into the city. The two projects are 409 acres off Landis, Salem, and Tabs Creek Roads, known as the Hunt Landis Development, and 527 acres off Perry Road. The county's lawsuit asked a judge to declare prior rezoning votes null and void. City manager Brent Taylor said, "We don't anticipate anything holding up development at this point." Jim Wren, the attorney for Granville County, did not say whether the lawsuit would be dropped following the recent vote. California firm drops plans for 1,000-job project. An Edgecombe County megasite is losing out on a $1.4 billion investment that could have created 1,000 jobs. A California-based battery maker is going out of business the second time the megasite has lost a project. Natron Energy, which manufactures sodium-ion batteries, is closing all of its facilities, according to a filing submitted on August 28th to the Michigan Department of Labor and Economic Opportunity. It said it failed to raise enough capital to keep its operations going and said the closures were scheduled to occur on September 3rd. Natron is based in Santa Clara, California, and has a factory in Holland, Michigan. Natron announced in August 2024 that it planned to invest $1.4 billion at the Kingsborough megasite and create 1,062 jobs. It's another blow for the Kingsborough megasite. In 2017, China's Triangle Tire announced it would invest $580 million in two tire plants at the site. But in 2022, the company put the kibosh on the project. And finally, Food Lion anchored center sells for $5.8 million. A New Jersey firm has purchased a shopping center for millions in a town with less than 3,000 residents, the latest example of out-of-state money pouring into the Greater Triangle. Carolina FL Portfolio, an LLC with an address in Eatontown, New Jersey, purchased the Kimberly Park Shopping Center at 1005 Monroe Street in Carthage for a little more than $5.8 million in August, according to Moore County deed records. The seller is Virginia-based CSRA Grocery Portfolio 2 LLC, which purchased it in August 2015 for under $5 million. The shopping center was built in 2000, according to property records, and sits on nearly 7 acres. Tenants include Food Lion, Subway, Family Dollar, and a sports bar called Time Out Sports Grill. And now we turn to Kate Tracy's page, Retail and Restaurants. Residents surge as downtown evolves. While office activity lags, downtown Raleigh sees number of residents rise. From the opening of Gibson Play Plaza to the groundbreaking of the 37-story Highline Glenwood, it's been a noteworthy year for downtown Raleigh. On August 28, the Downtown Raleigh Alliance released its 2025 State of Downtown Report while presenting ideas for downtown. Most notably, it shows that office worker activity remains well below pre-pandemic levels. This is a key factor behind the city's push to get more people living and visiting downtown to make up for the diminished foot traffic. Housing seeing growth. Downtown has gained 5,970 residential units since 2015. Last year's report showed 5,065 new units since 2015. There are 1,259 units under construction and 6,444 in the pipeline. The area has around 15,700 residents, and the report projects another 8,681 residents by 2030. The Mave and the Row apartments are among the multifamily developments that deliver this year. Office space seeks tenants. Downtown's overall office vacancy is 21.3%, with no new office development projects on the horizon. A giant part of that is the Citrix building, with more than 170,000 square feet of available sublease space. Employee activity has reached just 68% of pre-pandemic levels. Retail makes gains. Store openings continue to outpace closures downtown, with 51 openings so far in 2025 and 28 closings. Last year, 55 closed while 72 opened. Food and beverage sales downtown brought in an estimated $357 million between July 2024 and June 2025, a 6.8% increase year over year. Hotels, a bright spot. For 2024, Wake County collected $41 million in hotel occupancy taxes, with $8 million, or 20%, coming from downtown. Steakhouse to bring Texas flavor to Raleigh. Bob's Steak and Chop House, a fixture at a number of Omni hotels across the country, will be coming to Raleigh's future hotel. "We're bringing a little bit of Texas steak to Raleigh," said Brett Cimarelli, Vice President of Construction and Development Services with Omni Hotels and Resorts. Bob's originally opened in 1993 in Dallas. In addition to multiple locations in Texas, Bob's has restaurants in Florida, Kentucky, Tennessee, Oklahoma, and Arizona. Many of its locations are in Omni properties, according to its website. While Bob's is an out-of-state restaurant, the hotel's other food and beverage venues will have a local focus, Cimarelli said. Omni will also have a yet-to-be-announced coffee shop, bar, and activated lobby. A sports bar will anchor one of the corners of the hotel, complete with multiple TVs and a golf simulator venue. Omni recently added about 50 more hotel rooms than its initial plan suggested, bumping the hotel up to 600 rooms. "We know the city can support it. We know the amount of people that come here every year. It's just a tremendous opportunity for us to do something for the long term, too," he said. Cimarelli said that Omni owns and operates its hotels. "We're long-term holders. We come into a city, we don't leave," he said. popular Durham restaurant finds new home. A Durham restaurant has found a new coop to call home. Dame's Chicken and Waffles is moving from its downtown location to 471 South Driver Street in East Durham with plans to open in late September. The restaurant joins a number of other retail, food, and beverage establishments at the building on Driver Street, including Proximity Brewing, Congress Social Bar, and the event space Garland Hall. Garland Ventures LLC owns the building and has restored it. The building was the former home of Garland Woodcraft, the Durham cotton manufacturing company, and a bank. The preservation of the building is part of Garland Ventures' efforts to create a mixed-use neighborhood with retail and housing. Dame's current location is downtown at 530 Foster Street in the Liberty Warehouse. Co-founder Damian Moore said in a release that the business looked at numerous locations, and in the end, there was no better fit for us than East Durham. And finally, retail center in Cary adds Chipotle Cava. Two fast casual restaurants are expanding to a booming part of Cary as a new retail development gets underway. Cava and Chipotle Mexican Grill have signed leases at an under-construction project at Cary's Alston Town Center along Highway 55 in Northwest Cary. Rob Hicks with Capital Growth Bookalter confirmed. Capital Growth Bookalter started planning additional retail space at Alston Town Center last year and has signed leases for two additional restaurants. In addition, a bank is coming to a freestanding building, and a hospital group is taking 10,000 square feet, Hicks said. Capital Growth Bookalter purchased the four parcels from American Asset Corporation for $4.53 million at the end of July, according to deed records. And our last reporter page is written by Dane Huffman on the coast. Beach towns say bring your dog, Nag's Head Restaurant, among many that cater to pet lovers. Mulligan's Grill sits in the heart of Nag's Head with the Atlantic Ocean on one side and Jockey's Ridge on the other. You can munch on jumbo crab balls, broiled seafood, and even filet mignon. And if your dog wants a meal, there are options there too with dishes that include chicken, hamburger, and rice. Mulligan's is one of many spots along the North Carolina coast with an eye toward pleasing pet owners. What was once a niche trend has grown as pet owners look to take their pets along on vacation. It definitely is a trend, said Lee Nettles, executive director of the Outer Banks Visitors Bureau. Nettles said the number of hotels that offer pet-friendly rooms and rental properties that cater to pet owners has steadily risen over the years. It's been a gradual but steady thing, he said. I didn't really notice it, but then you look up and look around, and it's a very dog-friendly place to be. Even the Swank Sanderling Resort, for example, promotes how it is pet-friendly with an in-room bed, feeding bowls, and peanut butter treats. Mulligan's, now in its 29th year, has been appealing to pets for the last 15 years or so, thanks in part to dog-friendly owners. Dogs are welcome on multiple outdoor spaces at the restaurant and get served a dish such as chicken and rice on a flying disc the dog can keep. We love dogs, said General Manager Josh Dunovant. He said the restaurant is especially packed with dogs on days such as Saturday and Sunday when rental properties turn over and vacationers are waiting to check in. Dunovant believes the trend is here to stay. Nobody wants to leave their dog in the car or in a strange room if you're on vacation, he said. Wilmington startup says buyout is growth play. Chris Babcock, CEO of Wilmington fintech Aperture, spelled A-P-I-T-U-R-E, describes the pending buyout by Computer Services Incorporated as a growth play. Aperture started in 2017 as a joint venture between First Data Corporation and Live Oak Bank. The buyout by Computer Services Incorporated, headquartered in Kentucky, takes Aperture to the next level, Babcock said. The sale is expected to close in the fourth quarter. Deal terms were not disclosed. Babcock said it's the kind of deal that will help Aperture grow. The new parent is super committed to the product, he said, adding that Aperture remains committed to Wilmington, where it is headquartered on the Live Oak Bank campus. It plans to remain there for the foreseeable future. Aperture has 300 employees now, and Babcock estimates the combined company will be around 1,600 people. It's unclear whether Aperture will retain its brand, but it will still have its North Carolina presence as well as its philosophy of supporting remote work. We're very much about getting the best talent that we can and we have, he said. Babcock sees excuse me, Babcock sees Aperture continuing to grow, both organically and likely through acquisitions. Chip Mahan, CEO of Live Oak Bank and chairman at Aperture, was supportive of the buy. Cape Fear Seafood expands to Greenville. A Wilmington seafood restaurant with multiple locations has a new market in mind. Cape Fear Seafood Company has expanded to Greenville, with a new restaurant now open at 518 Greenville Boulevard Southeast. The restaurant officially opened August 11, although it had some charitable events before that, as it raised more than $13,000 for the Trawick Pediatric Cardiology Fund. "We're so excited to finally bring Cape Fear Seafood Company to Greenville," excuse me, said Evans Trawick, founder of Cape Fear Seafood Company. "The area's love of seafood, loyalty to all things Eastern North Carolina, and its swashbuckling independent attitude are a perfect fit," he said. Cape Fear Seafood Company now has two locations in Wilmington, two in Raleigh, at the Village District and 832 Spring Forest Road, Cary, McGregor Square, Wake Forest, 3612 Rogers Branch Road, Belleville in Brunswick County, and North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And finally, reappraisal brings high rate of appeals. A rapid rise in value of property along the coast led many Carteret County residents to appeal their reevaluation. The Carteret County News Times reported that 4,289 people appealed their 2025 revaluation, according to Public Information Officer Nick Wilson. Of those, only 186 are still in the process of being appealed. The paper reported the reappraisal impacted all of Carteret's 62,200 properties. The value of property at the coast soared during the pandemic, and prices have remained high. Condominiums in Atlantic Beach, for example, that sold in the $300,000 range before the pandemic, have often doubled in value, and home prices north of $1 million have become far more common. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to the Executive Voice to read the Q&A column, this one focusing on Kenneth Combs. In a closer look, title organization, CEO CQC Home, CEO of Builders Breakthrough Advisors, age 40, education, Northern High School in Durham, family, wife Chelsea, children Kayla, Hunter, and Liam, first job, construction laborer for LMA Incorporated in Chapel Hill. Armed with a set of tools, determination, and a vision, Ken Combs started custom quality carpentry in his garage in 2009. At the time, it was just him and one assistant serving homeowners primarily in Durham. Fast forward to today, and CQC Home, as it's called now, is a design, build, remodeling firm that specializes in kitchens, baths, and whole homes. The firm, now with 30 employees, generates $15 million in revenue and serves the entire triangle with aspirations to expand its service area. Combs also founded Builders Breakthrough Advisors, an organization that works to help other builders manage successful businesses of their own. And he serves as the current board president of the Home Builders Association of Durham, Orange, and Chatham Counties. How has your firm implemented AI? We've integrated AI into nearly every aspect of our business to create efficiencies and improve the client experience, from estimating and project planning to design, support, and marketing. AI helps streamline our processes and free up our team to focus on what we do best, delivering exceptional remodeling projects. What are your goals for CQC Home? Our short-term focus is building unique custom homes in the Triangle, while our long-term vision is expanding into new markets like Wilmington and Pinehurst. What's the biggest challenge for your firm now? Navigating the shortage of qualified tradespeople while also managing the impact of rising material costs due to tariffs. These industry-wide pressures make it more important than ever to focus on strong partnerships, efficient systems, and investing in workforce development. What's your biggest professional accomplishment thus far? One of my proudest professional accomplishments is my long-standing involvement with the Home Builders Association of Durham, Orange, and Chatham Counties. I've served on the board for nearly 10 years and now have the privilege of serving as president, helping shape the future of our industry and advocating for our local building community. What was your aha moment? realizing that true growth happens when you surround yourself with people who are smarter than you, by trusting their expertise, encouraging their creativity, and giving them space to excel, I watched the company improve in ways I couldn't have achieved alone. What's the best advice you've ever received? A quote I live by is John F. Kennedy's, "A rising tide lifts all boats." I apply this motto in every aspect of my life, at home with my family, in leading CQC Home, and through my work with Builders Breakthrough Advisors. It's a constant reminder that when we lift others up, we all move forward together. Tell us about Builders Breakthrough Advisors. Durham, my hometown, is woven into who I am. I'm committed to giving back, whether sponsoring local activities or investing in initiatives that make our community even more vibrant. With Builders Breakthrough Advisors, I extend that mission by mentoring other builders, helping them navigate growth and create sustainable, profitable businesses of their own. What do you do to relax? Playing pickleball, biking with my family on the Greenway, and walking our three dogs. What books are currently on your nightstand? A Father's Tale and Relentless. And this was written by Cameron Snipes. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we'll turn to Project Life, the Executive Health and Worker Wellness in the Triangle column, written by Connie Gentry. The headline, A Tech-Focused Approach to Health, a Simple Idea Born on the Back of a Napkin. E-Box Chain of Durham is now a $2 million company working to transform healthcare logistics. Scribbled notes on the back of a napkin? That was the start of the tech-driven logistics solution, E-Box Chain, which is on a mission to drive down costs and ramp up efficiencies across the healthcare industry. The year was 2019, and a cohort of MBA students from Duke University's Fuqua School of Business were sharing drinks and swapping dreams. It was a typical graduate student meetup, except that Suraj Chanda's scribbles became the basis for a patent he filed, and Dr. Raman Palabindala pulled out his checkbook and signed over $30,000, becoming the company's first investor. Chanda, who came to Duke with a master's in electrical and electronics engineering, is the founder and CEO of E-Box Chain. In addition to serving as chief health officer and on the board of at E-Box Chain, Palabindala is also CEO of WatchRx, another healthcare tech startup, all while he continues to practice as a hospital internist in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. It was a simple idea in the beginning, Chanda said, one that initially focused on logistics of low-hanging delivery opportunities like grocery stores, restaurants. Even office supplies and flowers were among the early adopters of E-Box Chain, which he admitted is a geeky name. E-Box Chain is nothing but an eco-friendly chain of boxes based purely on the patient application I was filing, Chanda said. For Palabindala, the end goal was always healthcare. Suraj was literally writing patents on that napkin and telling me, "Hey, bro, this is the dynamic assignment algorithm that will increase the efficiencies in the routing optimization." So when I wrote that first check, I told him, "Just promise me you will focus on healthcare," he said. But healthcare was much harder to break into than retail, although pharmacies, particularly independent mom-and-pop pharmacies, proved to be the logical gateway from retail to healthcare, particularly after the pandemic. Indie pharmacies that were built around neighborhood traffic and in-person experiences were impacted significantly by the pandemic. "People stopped coming into the stores," Chanda said, "so the independent pharmacies were afraid their patients might switch to CVS or Walgreens, which had delivery services. The strategic conversion happened in 2022. That's when E-Box Chain shifted its focus entirely to the healthcare segment. We thanked everyone for their business and did something crazy. We let go of the 25 restaurant accounts in the grocery stores all within 1 month," Chanda said. He did this knowing full well that healthcare logistics was a different beast, one that required different levels of security, chain of custody controls, and auditing. "Now you are carrying a drug and these pharmacies have their license at stake. You cannot depend on a gig driver who is not HIPAA trained, and you cannot have a system that is not HIPAA compliant," Chanda said. "If we wanted to evolve the tech company and get into healthcare, we needed to be a strong leader when it comes to software." That's when he recruited Samudra Vijay, president and CEO of SAM IT Solutions, to serve as chief technology officer, and Pala Bindala's role expanded from investor to board member and CHO. That year, they had two pharmacy clients. Within 4 months, they had enabled one of those pharmacies to grow from 5 deliveries a day to roughly 30 a day. And e-box chain recorded annual revenue of $110,000. By the end of 2023, they had grown to 20 pharmacy clients with company revenue at $416,000. We were still in stealth mode, completing the building of our system, said Shonda, who always had a burning desire for e-box chain to do more than deliver a product from point A to point B. He wanted the solution to solve problems and add value. For the first time, I felt like we were solving a problem and could literally make an impact, he said. The impact goes beyond empowering small independent pharmacies to deliver prescriptions. It's helping to bring access to medical devices, testing and monitoring kits, and healthcare supplies to homebound patients and rural areas. We want to be part of solving the problem of healthcare deserts, pharmacy deserts, and improving the social determinants of health, Pala Bindala said. Those are problems that he knew existed in his native India, but that he is flabbergasted to see occurring throughout the U.S. We want to create value not just for our clients and our company. We want to help the entire health system gain value. We're suffering with close to a $5 trillion expense in healthcare in this country, he said. More than 9% of the $4.9 trillion national health expenditure in 2023 was attributed to retail prescription drugs, according to independent health research firm KFF. Pala Bindala believes e-box chain will make a difference in healthcare for a number of reasons, starting with the fact that healthcare has become increasingly complex, making it impossible for a gig economy to be part of the delivery solution. It involves sensitive information and too many variables. A pharmacist might put a $1,000 medication in that bag, or they might be delivering lab samples or costly medical devices, he said. There's the need for HIPAA compliance, for controls to protect the information, and for processes to provide proof of delivery, which are required by most payers. The way we are growing right now, from independent pharmacies to long-term care pharmacies and veterinary pharmacies, we figured out the secret sauce when it comes to pharmacies. So the next step is going to be the clinics, and labs fall within the clinics and health systems. Then we go to the payers. So we're trying to go one layer at a time to show our health, show our value to healthcare and to be a part of value-based care, he said. And we'll stop right there as the rest of the article points out their goal of wanting to be the final step in healthcare. And we would like to mention that today's program is underwritten by Highwoods Properties with its headquarters in Raleigh, North Carolina. Highwoods, a real estate investment trust, is committed to making our communities better places to live and work. Highwoods can be reached at 866-449-6637. And we have run out of time for today's episode of Triangle Business Journal. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Derek Frost, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.